Shabbat Shalom, Rabbi David. Shabbat Shalom, Mishpacha. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, team, for doing that. Now is an important time when most of the Christian world celebrates Christmas, coming of Jewish Messiah. And the most important topic for me during this time is the idea of forgiveness and reconciliation with the Lord and with the people around us. Today's Torah chapter is very instructive about forgiveness, and I would like to read from Genesis chapter 45, verse 1 to through 5. So please bear with me, and let's read together. Now Joseph could no longer restrain himself in front of all those who were standing by him. So he cried out, "Get everyone away from me." So no one stood with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. But he gave his voice to weeping so that the Egyptians heard and Pharaoh's household heard. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" And his brothers were unable to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near me." So they came near. "I'm Joseph, your brother, the one you sold to Egypt," he said. "So now don't be grieved and don't be angry in your own eyes that you sold me here, since it was for preserving life that God sent me here before you." What a wonderful story. Story about forgiveness, reconciliation, restoration of the family, God's family. With the help of the Lord, Joseph was able to receive and forgive his own brothers. He became a savior for all his family. We all know from the Bible that forgiveness is vital. It's very important to all of us. And without any doubts, one of the most obvious and instructive stories of forgiveness is the story of Joseph. He is the example for us about forgiveness. He went through a very difficult life, which was filled with trials, challenges, offenses, betrayal, undeserved accusation. And Joseph in the scripture is a picture of the Messiah, his reflection in history. When I think about this commandment, about commandment to forgive, it reminds me one of the most known prayer on the globe, Our Father who is in heaven, the Lord's Prayer. And I want to read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 through 15. Matthew 6, 12 through 15. This is the second part of this prayer. "And forgive our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions." In my personal opinion, this is a very serious statement here, which means forgiveness of our own sins depends on our forgiveness of others. We need to remember that because it's very important to remember. How important is to forgive others? It is important for all of us because we are children of God and we are called to be like Him. He is the author and the source of all mercy and all forgiveness. I truly believe in my heart, in my life, that if we want to follow our Messiah, we need to learn and practice forgiveness in our daily lives. It is very practical and is very important in our lives. So I would like to share and show a few sides of forgiveness because it's a very deep theme, so many things there, so many treasures. But today I would like to share a couple of those. So first of all, forgiveness is a decision that translates into actions. Do not take revenge. Do not pay evil for evil. The first and most important, we need to decide to forgive. Decision is the first step in the process of forgiveness. In Romans chapter 12, from verse 18, very important truth here. Rabbi Shaul, Apostle Paul, he shares his understanding of forgiveness with us. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you. So if it is possible, sometimes it's not possible, but if it is possible, do everything is possible. So far as it depends on you, live in shalom with all people. Remain shalom. Be in God's shalom. But verse 19, if it's not possible, never take your own revenge, loved ones, but give room to God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says Adonai. Rather, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For by doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. And verse 21, the golden verse here. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If you made a decision not to take revenge, to respond from the perspective of the scriptures, you have already decided to forgive the person. You are on the path of forgiveness. And I found something interesting. Sometimes it takes a long time between your decision to forgive and your emotional healing, healing of your soul, healing of your wounds. Sometimes it takes time, but you already decided to forgive. And the second part of forgiveness, it's a very important part, emotional healing, freedom in the heart in relation to the offender. I have a question. What if somebody has done you evil and do not care about your forgiveness? What to do? In the Lord's Prayer, forgive, this word forgive also can be translated as to let go, to release, to send away. What is important is to understand from this place of scriptures that to release, to let go from your heart is a very important part of forgiveness. A person who sinned against you but does not want to reconcile with you, to change his thoughts and actions, who does not desire your forgiveness, such a person you are to simply release from your heart. To release, to let go, means to not desire revenge or wish evil upon an offender, but rather to pray for such one that the Lord may have mercy on him. How? By learning him, leading him to repentance. And then your own heart can experience freedom from a bitter root of unforgiveness. Our decision to release, to let go, takes away the power of our enemy over us. It gives us the opportunity to move forward without wasting our life on useless rage and revenge, to move forward with the Lord, to do His will. And now I would like to share the second part of forgiveness. What if you sinned against someone? What to do? So the first of all, we need to remember that it is important to be restored in forgiveness. And forgiveness sometimes comes with the price of the restoration. Sometimes. This story of Joseph, it's a beautiful example, important example. If you never read this story, please read it. It's so important to know. If you find this in chapter 44, also 45, before Joseph opened himself to his brothers, he tested them. He judged their hearts and he found that they were different. They cared about their younger brother, about father. And if you read carefully, end of the chapter 44, you will find there that Judah was ready to give his life for his younger brother. He was changed. He changed. His heart was different. So I want to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. But before, I would like to ask the question, and this will be your homework if you would like to think about this, and we'll think later. I have a question. What would Joseph do if he did not see change in the hearts of his brothers? Which means, when we want to ask for forgiveness, we need to change our hearts. We need to come with repentance in our lives. So I would like to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. And here's the very simple example of forgiveness, how to come to the Lord, how to be clean before the Lord. So verse 23. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering upon the altar, so which means you are coming to the Lord and you wish to worship him. This is the time of your worshiping. So if you want to present a new offering upon the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. So which means you did something wrong to your brother, you sinned against him. What to do? Verse 24. Leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Sometimes we can't do that because we have situations when we can't come back in the time, in the past. And I know that the Lord, he's merciful. I know that he covered us by his blood, by his mercy. But if you can, the first thing to do is to bring peace, to bring shalom, and then to come before the Lord. If you have sinned, restore, repent, return what was stolen. Sooner or later, we will bear the consequences of our actions, good or bad. And I would like to conclude with one place of scripture from Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. This is probably one of the most obvious example of restoration in the ministry of Yeshua. It's a beautiful story. And I would like to read again, Luke chapter 19, 1 through 10. Now Yeshua entered Jericho and was passing through. And here was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. So what's interesting here? Yeshua, he went through Jericho. He had no plan to stay there, according to verse 1, chapter 19. And here's the man who changed the direction of Yeshua in this city. Yeshua came to Zacchaeus because he saw something in his life. I love this story. Our faith has great, great power. And here was a man by the name of Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And we know that from the history of the Jewish people that tax collectors, they worked on Rome, and they were hated by Jewish people because they took money for themselves and also for the Rome. They were unclean in the eyes of the Jewish people. And he was not only a tax collector, but he was the chief tax collector. I can't imagine how people related to him. So, verse 3. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Yeshua was, but he couldn't because of the crowd, and he was short in height. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Yeshua, for he was about to pass through that way. When Yeshua came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Zacchaeus hurried and came down and welcomed him joyfully. But when everyone saw it, they began to grumble, saying, Yeshua has gone to the guest to be the guest of a sinner. Verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, Look, Master, half of my possessions I give to the poor, and if I have somehow cheated anyone, I repay four times as much. And only then, verse 9, after he made the steps, Yeshua said to him, Today salvation has come to this home, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Only after these steps of restoration, the Lord revealed fullness of salvation in the life of Zacchaeus. He was restored to the Lord and to the people. Thank you so much.